Chapter 12.
Woo!
Amber let out a shout of surprise and then immediately fell to her knees beside the new black-haired woman who had appeared when we crossed through the portal.
Are you okay?
Were you the voice I could hear? I asked gently as I bent my knees to get to eye level with the newest addition to our secret gang. The black-haired woman took a long, shuddering breath and eventually lifted her face up to look at me. She was gorgeous, with eerily pale skin that looked almost translucent when it caught the light. And the soft, milky color made the darkness of her eyes even starker against her face. Her eyes were big and round and almost black, to the point where I couldn't tell what was pupil and what was iris. Her mid-length hair was the same, as straight as a poker and dark as the night, and the ends brushed the top of her slim shoulders. She was dressed in the same basic leather dress Amber had worn when she'd accidentally stumbled into my world through the dungeon in my closet, and I shot the redhead a quick look as the new girl gathered herself.
Where am I?
She asked hoarsely as she blinked her huge black eyes up at me, and I instantly recognized the voice I'd heard in my head when I'd first put the shiny black pauldrons over my shoulders. Brooklyn, I grinned down at her. Welcome.
I'm confused. I was trapped. You rescued me, but how did...
The black-haired woman gasped out a breath, and then she slowly shook her head.
Easy,
Amber said as she ran a hand up and down the newcomer's back in a calming manner.
He, are you okay?
The beautiful, pale-skinned woman had suddenly slumped against Amber as her eyelids fluttered, and her sudden rapid breathing made her chest heave beneath the raw leather of her tight dress.
I'm okay.
She gasped, though she kept her eyes screwed shut.
I'm exhausted, though. I can barely keep my eyes open. Yeah, transforming back into human form will do that to you,
Amber said in an understanding tone, and she gently rubbed her arm where the black-haired woman was still slumped against her.
I think you need to get some rest.
I think we all do, I said decidedly. You can share my bed with Amber. I don't mind taking the chair.
Are you sure?
Amber looked up at me with doe eyes, and I knew instantly she didn't want to be apart from me even for one night. I knew because I felt the same. But I didn't want to pressure our newest accidental companion into anything, even if that was just sleeping next to each other. It still would have meant we'd be in close proximity, and I wasn't one for putting women in uncomfortable situations. Yes, I'm sure. I smiled at my redhead who still cradled the other woman in one arm. You girls get cozy. I've slept in my computer chair way more times than I'd care to admit, and it's actually not all that bad.
Thank you, Master.
The black-haired woman murmured sleepily from beside Amber. I wanted to tell her she didn't have to do the whole master thing and ask her name in return, but she was already asleep. You're welcome. I told her instead with a smile, even though she couldn't see it because her big round eyes were heavy. Let it be known that I, James Miller, am a gentleman.
I could have vouched for that too.
Amber giggled and then she immediately shushed herself when she realized the pale-skinned girl had already fallen asleep next to her. I helped Amber move the new girl further onto the bed, where we both unlaced either one of her leather boots, pulled them free from her feet, and then placed the comforter over her now fully unconscious body.
I feel sorry for her,
Amber whispered and frowned.
I was starting to think it really was just me. It's not a pleasant experience what we've been through.
I can't even imagine, I murmured in reply as I pulled the redhead close in a tight embrace. But if I've said it once, I'll say it again. I'm glad I found you.
Me too.
Amber smiled up at me, and then she ran her hand through my hair.
Good night, Sir Miller.
You'd better watch yourself. I chuckled quietly and then pulled her in for a quick, tender kiss before she crawled into my bed beside the black-haired woman. I grabbed a blanket and sent a quick prayer out to my mom who'd insisted I pack a spare when I moved. Then I situated myself in my leather computer chair for the night. I fell into a deep sleep pretty quickly, all things considered, but rest was out of the question. The moment my eyes slid shut and I was submerged into my subconscious, my mind decided to plague me with a hyper-realistic dreamscape. It was as if I blinked and was suddenly transported to a weird flat plain that stretched on for miles with no discernible horizon. There were no walls, no sides, no corners, and no nooks or crannies at all, and I'd never felt more exposed in all my life. The floor I stood on was solid, but covered in something slick. It could have been water, but it was almost too thick and gloopy, too viscous to just be water. Oil? As soon as I'd thought the word, a spark cracked somewhere in the distance like a lightning bolt, and the liquid beneath the soles of my feet suddenly came alight. "Whoa!" I called out and stumbled on instinct as the bleakness suddenly erupted with flames.
"Use me."
I suddenly heard Amber's voice in my mind, and her bow materialized in my hands within the blink of an eye. I didn't question anything. I just shot an arrow at the ground and hoped that the dream Amber caught onto the situation. The fire that broiled beneath my feet instantly hissed and hardened as soon as Amber's ice arrow came into contact with the floor, and I took a deep, shuddering breath as the potential for pain started to flicker along the soles of my now bare feet. I blinked again, and the dreamscape changed. I was surrounded by crumbling rock, like a constant shifting landslide, except I was still on flat ground. The boulders rained down around me like the world's deadliest hailstorm, and all I could do was gasp continuously for breath as I tried to move out of their path.
"Can you hear me?"
The black-haired woman's dream voice was as quiet as her real voice had been in the dungeon world, and her pauldrons appeared on my torso the moment I latched onto the sound of her voice. Except they were 4 times as heavy as they had been, and the sensation of suffocating and of being crushed was suddenly tenfold.
"Can you hear me?"
she asked again, but the voice was fainter, and the armor became even heavier than before. I pulled at the slick black metal like a football player readjusting his shoulder pads, except I couldn't move it even half an inch. They were like a dead weight, and somehow shrinking over my shoulders, and I could barely get a breath out as my bones creaked and ached against the sudden pressure. I awoke in my chair gasping for air, and I looked up to see Amber standing over me with her teeth buried in her bottom lip. She half-whispered as soon as my eyes met hers, and she crouched down so her face was below me.
"Hey, are you okay?"
"Yeah." I chuckled slowly and rubbed my temples. "Just a bad dream."
"A nightmare,"
she murmured as she brushed my hair out of my face.
"Are you sure you're all right?"
"Yes, I'm fine," I assured her with a tired smile. "Today's gonna suck. I'm exhausted."
"I might stay behind with her,"
Amber said as she continued to gnaw on her lip with worry, and she glanced over her freckled shoulder at the black-haired woman who was still passed out in my bed.
"I think she had bad dreams, too."
"Are you sure you're gonna be okay here?" I asked the redhead, and the thought of her almost passing out from being away from me suddenly came into my mind.
"I thought about that, too."
Amber sighed and then forced a smile onto her face as she shrugged.
"But I felt better the moment I was closer to the portal. I think having a connection to my world helps. And she'll need someone here when she wakes up, for sure."
"You're probably right." I smiled down at my beautiful warrior woman. As usual.
"Don't act surprised."
She pouted as she pulled me out of my chair.
"I think you love it."
"I really do." I grinned and instinctively pulled her close. I pressed my lips up against Amber's and smiled at her kiss as she immediately sighed into me. Her body molded to mine, and I marveled at her for the millionth time as my hands roamed across her shoulders and down her back. I wished I could have stayed there, suspended in a kiss with her all day, but I reluctantly pulled away from her welcoming mouth with a groan. "I've only got some morning classes," I told her as I played with a loose tendril of her red hair. "I'll be back by lunchtime."
"You'll bring food?"
Amber suddenly asked. "Yeah," I chuckled as I watched her blue eyes sparkle with anticipation. "I'll bring food." I quickly got ready for the day, and then I reluctantly left the two beautiful women in my dorm room and headed out for my morning classes. Fall had definitely made its presence known in New York. The morning air had a slight chill to it, since it hadn't yet been warmed by the sun, though it was already doing its damnedest even as early as it was. The sky was relatively empty, aside from a few cotton candy clouds that floated across the wash of blue, and the trees that surrounded campus had suddenly started to morph with the change in the season. The canopies of greenery suddenly had a gilded, golden edge to them as the leaves began to wither on the branches, and the sound of early morning birdsong filled with the familiar New York sounds of construction workers taking a break somewhere a few blocks away, and the rhythmic whoosh of the subway trains that snaked beneath the city. I wandered across the quad of my dorm hall toward the main building of the Brooklyn School of Music, but I almost felt out of place at this point, considering how much time I'd spent crawling through an enchanted dungeon. My first class was a practical one with a guest DJ, where my sleepiness was blown away for an hour or so thanks to the decibel level in the recording rooms. But by the time I was walking to my Production 101 class, I was yawning every other breath again.
"You look like shit,"
Aaron commented with a knowing grin, and I turned to find my metalhead friend handing a takeout cup of coffee over to me. Oh my god, you're a lifesaver. I groaned as I immediately took a long sip from the steaming opening in the lid. How'd you know? I figured your production lectures are at the same time as my free hours, and I also happen to be the world's greatest friend. Aaron shrugged as he took a swig of his own coffee and studied me with a mischievous glint in his eyes. Are you doing okay, bud? Just tired. I yawned as we walked across the quad together. Amber keeping you busy, is she? Aaron snickered as he wedged a white-tipped cigarette between his teeth. Something like that. I sighed, but then I chuckled when I saw Aaron's eyebrows waggling of their own accord. Shut up. Hey, if you can't keep up, it's nothing to be ashamed of. My long-haired friend laughed heartily and then took a long drag of his now-lit cigarette. Lesser men have equally failed in that arena. You mean like you? I shot back and nudged him with my shoulder. I'll have you know my prowess with women is revered. Aaron pouted and wedged the cigarette back into the corner of his mouth. Yeah, back in the Midwest or wherever the fuck you came from. I countered and then snorted when he shot me a petulant look. You're not in Kansas anymore, Toto. We continued bantering and grew lewder and more fantastical with each step across the quad, until we finally ended up outside the lecture hall that housed my production 101 class in fits of laughter. That redhead ditched you, did she? I suddenly heard a snide voice over my shoulder. Decided to stick with your new boyfriend instead? Or did the long hair confuse you? I turned at the sound of Brad's voice and let out a heavy sigh. The frat guy who'd hit on Amber at the semester's first party of the season smirked across at us with his arms folded over a puffed-out chest, and he leaned against the brick wall of the lecture hall with his watery blue eyes fixed on both Aaron and I. I had almost forgotten that I shared a good number of my classes with him, and I really did not want to even acknowledge his existence today. Amber's still with me, I replied in a flat voice and barely glanced over my shoulder at him. Surely rejection isn't something you're unfamiliar with, Brad. Your personality makes for a perfect no thanks. Aaron snorted into his coffee cup, and Brad's eyes immediately shot to him. I don't know who the fuck you think you're laughing at, nerd! The smarmy frat boy snapped. No, I don't have a clue either. Aaron muttered under his breath as he took the last drag of his smoke. In the blink of an eye, Brad had darted across to us and grabbed Aaron by the collar of his patch-covered leather jacket, and he suddenly had my friend shoved up against the wall, with their faces almost touching. Careful, nerd! Brad hissed as his nose brushed Aaron's. Your boyfriend might get jealous. I didn't even give it a second thought, and I suddenly found that I'd already ditched my coffee cup and grabbed two fistfuls of Brad's shirt as I heaved him away from my friend. Aaron staggered back into the wall as Brad released him, and the frat boy let out a surprised yell as he stumbled backward from where I dragged him by the polo shirt. It took me a second to realize what I'd done, and I flexed my fingers out of the fists they'd formed. Bad fucking move, Miller! Brad spat, and he suddenly swung a fist at me. It was like the world slowed down for a split second. I could see the round O shape of Aaron's mouth when he realized what was about to happen. I could see the anger cloud Brad's eyes as his arm extended out toward me, and I could feel my own fist reforming as I took an instinctive step back. Brad stumbled when his punch reached thin air, and I brought my fist round to slam him squarely in the stomach. He let out a strangled grunt when my blow landed, and the frat boy doubled over in pain and surprise as I dipped low like a boxer and followed through with a heavy right hook. My other fist connected with the side of his face in a sickening crunch, and a small spray of blood burst from Brad's mouth before he ended up in a crumpled heap on the floor. I blinked, and the world started again at normal speed. Dude! I heard Aaron's shocked laugh as he hurried over to my side. Brad groaned again and spat a mouthful of blood onto the ground as he looked up at me with a hand cradling his jaw.
Miller, what the fuck?
He moaned reproachfully as he massaged his cheek. Shit, I muttered as I spun on my heel and hightailed it away from the lecture hall and back across the quad. It took me a moment to realize Aaron had followed me, and he had to yank on my arm to get me to slow down. I rounded on him as my fight-or-flight instincts kicked in again, and my friend held his hands up in a double peace sign.
Hey, man, he said. Don't worry, I'm not trying anything.
I'm sorry. I sighed as I let out another breath I hadn't realized I'd been holding. I don't know why I did that. I don't apologize. Aaron laughed and slapped me on the shoulder. That was awesome. You had my back, bro. I'm gonna get in so much fucking trouble. I let out a laugh of my own, but it was more disbelief than it was humor.
Nah, you'll be fine,
Aaron assured me as we both slowed to a walk once we'd reached the other side of the quad, and I'd ascertained no one was running after me to continue a full-blown brawl. Do you think so? I asked, as I gnawed on my bottom lip and flexed my hand where the knuckles still stung from the impact they'd had on Brad's jaw.
Fuck that guy. He deserved it.
Aaron nodded quickly.
He started it anyway. I'll be your witness.
Thanks, I said, and then ran a hand through my hair. I didn't even think about it.
I didn't know you could fight,
Aaron admitted as he fixed me with a stare and worked another cigarette between his lips.
Me fucking either,
I replied with a breathless chuckle. Not in this world, anyway. Apparently my aptitude in Amber's other world had filtered through into my real life, because my adrenaline was still sky high, and I low-key wanted nothing more than to march back over to Brad and finish the job. Oh, shit. I nodded to the pathway in front of us where I could see Honey marching over to us. Oh, I'm in trouble.
Did I hear correctly?
Honey called out to us.
You just broke Butthead Brad's jaw outside Harrington Hall?
Good news sure does travel fast.
Aaron snickered, and Honey whacked him in the shoulder the moment she came within touching distance.
It's not funny, Aaron,
she huffed.
If James gets kicked out, I'll have to deal with you the whole time.
He won't get kicked out,
Aaron said with a pout as he rubbed his arm.
It was self-defense.
Honey rounded on me, folded her arms over her chest, and waited, and I suddenly felt like I was in front of the principal. He's right, I quickly agreed. It was self-defense. He had Aaron up against a wall by the collar of his shirt.
I was just letting him think he'd win,
Aaron shrugged casually.
I could have taken him.
Sure,
Honey replied, but a smirk started to form on her lips. I spent maybe another hour wandering around the opposite end of the quad with my two friends, with Aaron explaining the very brief fight to Honey in excruciating detail. Then my belly started to rumble, but my desire to see Amber's face grew even stronger than my hunger. I bade my two friends goodbye as they both went to their respective classes, and though I felt guilty for missing Production 101, I figured if I got asked about it, I could explain the situation. But my plan was to not get asked about it at all and keep my head low, and I was almost positive I'd at least scared Brad off enough to leave me the fuck alone now. I left campus to wander a little ways into downtown Brooklyn and headed toward a deli I'd been going to since high school that made arguably the best subs in the city. I picked up my usual, corned beef on rye with Swiss cheese and pickles, and squished down to within an inch of its life, and then had to go out on a limb for the two women back in my room. I chose pastrami and mustard for Amber, and opted for a neutral club sandwich type for the new woman hidden in my bedroom, because I wasn't sure of her preferences or if she had allergies or anything like that, and I didn't want to risk a damn thing with either of them. Though, judging by how much food Amber could put away, I trusted she was able to handle a pastrami sub, and her enthusiasm was immediate as soon as she got a whiff of the paper packages I held when I finally made it back to my dorm.
Oh, God's food!
Amber squealed the moment I'd shut the door behind me. Just subs. I chuckled as the redhead rushed over to me. This one's for you. I handed her the pastrami sandwich, and she took it from me with a giggle, gave me a quick kiss on the cheek, and then curled up right there on the carpet and started to unroll her sub like she was a kid at Christmas, unwrapping a prized gift.
Subs?
The pale-skinned woman asked softly, from where she was sitting on the edge of my bed. Brooklyn's best version of a sandwich, I explained with a warm smile. Just bread and meat and veggies.
I will eat it,
she said, and returned my smile with a shy one of her own.
Thank you, Master.
Of course. I nodded to her as I passed her the club sandwich. But you don't have to call me Master. Just James is fine.
See?
Amber mumbled around a mouthful of sandwich.
I told you, James is different. He is very kind and honorable and brave.
All right. I chuckled self-consciously. How about we just enjoy our food and you can praise me later?
Okay.
Amber smiled happily, and by her tone, I knew she was definitely going to take my words literally and start praising me again sometime later. But she was just so damn cute when she did it. Okay, I echoed with my own smile, and then I joined Amber on the floor. Because why not, I guess. Even the new girl followed suit, and we ended up having a makeshift picnic on the floor of my dorm room. What's your name? I asked her as we ate, I'd been dying to know since she slid off my back last night.
Obsidian.
The dark-haired woman said as she blinked up at me like a deer caught in headlights, and I noticed just how long and curly her black eyelashes were.
But I think my friends would call me Sid. I can't remember much, though.
Well, I think both names are lovely. I smiled. And Sid was a more common name in this world than Obsidian, so she hopefully wouldn't get too many weird looks.
So, we're friends then?
Amber immediately grinned and nudged Sid with a gentle shoulder as she plucked a choice piece of pastrami out of her sandwich.
I like the sound of that.
Me too,
Sid said, and for the first time since she'd appeared in my bedroom, the look in her big black eyes matched the smile on her pale face.
Thank you.
So, like obsidian, like the black semi-precious stone?
Amber asked as she took another bite of her sub.
Yes, like the stone.
Sid nodded.
And amber's a gemstone too, isn't it?
That's right.
Amber grinned proudly.
Gold and fiery.
You look like it.
Sid giggled and then turned to me.
So, what does a James gemstone look like?
Oh, I'm not named after a gemstone. I chuckled as I leaned back on my elbows with a slight smile tugging at the corners of my mouth, which could have looked smug if it wasn't for the fact I was completely enamored with the two of them.
I think that's just us.
Amber laughed, and then her face turned into an immediate, almost comical frown.
Though, that might be worth considering. Any similarities between the two of us could help in James's quest.
That's true. I agreed as I heaved myself up off the floor and back into my computer chair with a heavy sigh. There's a lot that bears thinking about, to be honest.
James?
Amber suddenly said my name after she'd swallowed a huge bite of pastrami.
Why are your knuckles bruised?
I immediately looked down at my hands where they held on to the last half of my sub and let out a sigh. Had an altercation? I said and took another bite. Brad thought he'd tried with me and Aaron.
Oh.
Amber breathed and reached over to brush her fingers against the redness of my knuckles.
Are you okay?
Far better than how Brad fared. I snickered and couldn't resist raising an eyebrow. I've never exactly been weak, but I've never fought like that before. I think whatever I pick up in your world, an element of those strengths or abilities sort of filters down to me here in my world.
I guess that makes sense.
Amber nodded thoughtfully.
Like muscle memory.
Sid suddenly said in a quiet voice, and I looked across at the beautiful black-haired woman as she picked daintily at her club sandwich. Yeah. I nodded and shot her another warm smile. That's what I figured, too. We finished eating our sandwiches, and I gathered the thick white paper up to throw into the trash can as the two girls sprawled out on my bed. And I, being the gentleman, took my computer chair again. So, how was your morning? I asked with a deep sigh. I'm guessing not quite as eventful as mine.
I feel like I slept for an eternity,
Sid admitted.
I'm sorry I wasn't a very entertaining companion, Amber.
Oh, that's okay,
my redhead replied happily.
I know how it feels transforming back again. It's damn exhausting to begin with.
You know.
The black-eyed woman shot Amber a look that was part fear and part desperation, with a solid dash of hope thrown in for good measure.
How do you know?
Because Amber was trapped too. I told her in a gentle voice. In your world, she takes the form of a bow and arrow.
I'm not sure exactly how long I was trapped with those vampires. It sort of felt like a dream. Or a nightmare.
The new woman just groaned and shook her head as the sentence ran away from her and petered out into silence.
It's okay,
Amber assured her, and she gently put her hand on the black-haired woman's shoulder.
It takes some getting used to being back in your own body again. But James will find out how to fix this. He'll get us back permanently in both worlds.
But we're back now, though.
The girl with big black eyes muttered, and she suddenly looked up at me from across the room.
How can we be back in our bodies now?
James lives in another world,
Amber explained in a gentle voice and motioned with her free hand to my nondescript dorm room.
It's called Brooklyn, where we are right now. There's no magic here, so whatever curse was cast on us, it holds no power in Brooklyn.
No magic.
The black-haired woman shook her head with a sigh.
But I've never heard of Brooklyn. I'm sorry, I'm still so confused.
It's all right, I said gently. I'd be confused too, but I'm here to help. Amber can vouch for me on that.
I can.
My red-headed warrior woman nodded vigorously as she comforted Sid.
James is a good guy, and he'll help us.
I somehow stumbled across your world, and then I accidentally found you girls, and it just makes sense for me to try and fix this. It feels right. I pursed my lips thoughtfully. I think I meant to do this.
Right.
Amber agreed, and she shot me a comforting look over the new woman's shoulders, with her bright blue eyes full of fiery gratitude, as she repeated her last comment.
James will help us.
I know you've said before that you couldn't really remember much, but I shrugged and looked at Sid curiously. Anything you can think of, no matter how little, it might help.
It's just such a jumble in my mind.
Sid sighed as she played with her fingers in her lap.
It's frustrating because I know I have the memories there, but it's like I can't quite reach them. I know the feeling.
Amber nodded sadly.
Frustrating is an understatement. I remember my job there.
Sid sighed and then shrugged offhandedly.
Not that that helps much. What did you do?
Amber asked softly.
I was part of the Baron's household staff.
Sid explained, and Amber and I immediately shared a curious and confused look.